welcome to a very special minute of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining today for this very special episode is Christophe Espenon, director and producer of the Coolest Guy Movie Ever documentary about the movie The Great Escape. Welcome to the show, Christophe.
Hello, Rob. How are you? Just for history, it was a real nightmare to make this documentary about The Great Escape. Because I spent 6 years of my life to make this story, to make this documentary, and to find a way to make a DVD, a documentary, and for the distribution in USA. It was very, very difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yes, because it was very difficult because at the start, I had all the location and I was with my camera and everything. I made a lot of interviews and I have a lot of anecdotic stories. At the start, I made this documentary because my father passed away, and I made a promise before he passed away to end it and to finish the documentary on The Great Escape. Because I watched this movie with my father when I was 10 and 12 years old. So I'm very involved with this story because it's a great story, it's a real story, and I love the characters and I love all the actors, and I asked him to help me to make this documentary. But at this time I have nothing. I received no money, nothing. But it was not my.
It wasn't your intention to do it to make money. Your intention was do it to honor your father. I completely understand.
You understand. I spent six. Yes. For anecdotic story, I asked to Neil Saddam McQueen agent to make an interview, and he said yes for an interview, and it's okay. We found for the narration, Lawrence Montaigne made the narration of the documentary.
I've seen your documentary. I really enjoyed it.
It was difficult because I spent 5 days in Germany, in Bavaria, to make all the sequences and all the interviews. Mm-hmm. Steve gave me James Coburn, Jim Garner, Bud Ekins, and Robert Relier interviews. And we made together the narration with Lawrence Montaigne. And we spent many months and many years to make the documentary, the 54 minutes. It was very difficult because I have, at this time, at the start, I never imagined to make a 54 minutes documentary. At the start, no. But I have my dream, and my dream is okay now.
Yeah,
okay, you talk about Steve McQueen coming into the coolers, and you remember the German guy with the keys. And he closed the door. You remember this guy, the German guy?
Yes. Of course I know. Of course we see him many times.
He was a German assistant of John Sturges. And
yes, that I know. I know that from your documentary.
Yes, yes. He was this guy. What Robert Relier said at the end of my documentary, it's cool because he said when he took the ball and he pushed the ball on the wall, and the German guy put his head on his back. He said said you lost. Steve McQueen win, but you lost, and that's true. That's true. That's
completely.
The end. That's the for me. This sequence is
the essence of the movie.
Yes, the essence of the movie. But you remember the interview from? I don't remember his name. He gave me all the black and white photographs from his father. He was the director of photography of second crew in the film.
Okay.
And this guy, Switzerland man, told me that he found 184 black and white pictures in the roof of his father's home, and. Yes, these pictures are not copyright with MGM. So I was very lucky to use these black and white pictures in my documentary. And the best story is he said, you give me no money. Don't worry. It's for you and your father. I know it's very important for you. So take the photographs, take the pictures, and use it in your documentary. And it was very. I was very proud to use it.
Wow.
To use them. Yes. And for example, if you remember in the documentary, the guy with the gun at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when McQueen goes against the gate, when he crashes into the gate. So yes. The soldier that walks over to him and tells him to put his hands up.
It was very like the guy with the bicycle in the Fusen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was miraculous because when I walk on the street with the camera, I ask to the guy with the bicycle to take his bicycle and to drive on the left on the street left and come with me, and somebody push him and he crashed on the road. He said, it's for what? You can explain to me. So do it. I make the pictures with the camera and I explain to it. And when I show him with my iPad, he said, oh, it's my father. I got one chance on 10 million times. And he told me, but my father is alive. If you want to speak with him, he said, but I have no time. But I was very lucky to make this documentary in Bavaria and to meet all the people who were were close with the film in the 60s.
Wow. Yeah.
Find all the elements and to find all the details to on this movie. But I spent 6 years to make this documentary in this area with my computers.
Mm-hmm.
I spent many nights. You cannot imagine. But the movie and the documentary grow up step by step, weeks after weeks. I have, you know, the various three stunts with Steve. Bud Higgins, I met his brother in Los Angeles. Tips, the New Zealander. Because Robert Relier and the farmer's son confirmed me that Steve made the jump. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I tried to talk with Tim Gibbs by messenger. And he replied. And I said, I made the documentary on the Great Escape. He said, oh, it was a long time. I spent a good time with Bud Higgins and all the people. At this time, it was for me for the money. And yes, okay, it was good. And I told him, can you please confirm that Steve made the jump? And he cut. He said, I can't reply. Okay, sorry. And he no conversation. It was over.
Wow.
I don't understand why there is a mystery about this jump. I know the Bud Higgins' wife shoot with his 16 millimeter camera the jump in front, because the jump, John Sturges shoot the jump on the side
at an angle.
And the wife of Buddy Kim's wife shoot a jump in front. And I know a man in Los Angeles who have the license for Steve McQueen t-shirts in Los Angeles. The name is Johnson Motors. He bought the house of Buddy Kim's. And his house is not one of the motorcycle he used in The Great Escape. Okay, in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And this guy told me, no, it's impossible. Steve McQueen never made the jump. It's impossible. I said, I believe you. But why? Robert Relier, Bob Relier, the John Sturges assistant director, said Steve McQueen made the jump. The farmer's son I met in Bavaria said he made the jump. And Tim Gibbs closed the conversation when I talked about the jump. So I don't care but I know it's for insurance at this time in 1962. But anyway, it's iconic seconds, but I think Steve McQueen made the jump after the Bud Higgins and after seconds, after the shooting. I was sure.
He made the jump,
yes,
but not, it wasn't what was
filmed.
It's not what's
yes,
on the...
Yes, 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 yes. Because I understand why Bob Relier said, told this story in the interview, and the farmer's son, I made the subtitles in French on my documentary. I finished last week. Seeing, watching all the interviews I make in 5-6 years ago. Yes, the farmer's son says he confirmed that Steve McQueen made the jump. He confirmed me that all the things. But what it was interesting in Bavaria, in Fusen, around Fusen, that location never changed. Nothing changed.
Right.
The the trees, the barn. It was very amazing to to be in this area 50 years after, and nothing changed. The people, do you remember the barber?
Yes, that his father was the barber also.
The barber, sir.
McQueen, the barber, the son of the barber who cut McQueen and Charles Bronson's hair.
He said that that Charles Bronson was very remote. He was very, but Steve, I read a lot of things on Steve McQueen in the Great Escape movie. I'm watching all the interviews Steve Rubin sent me and everything, and it was very difficult to make this movie in Bavaria because of the rain. It was very difficult because the rain, it was a big nightmare with the production, and Steve McQueen with the script also, because he wanted to be the actors, not James Garner, but Steve McQueen.
Right.
And they're rewriting the script. Everything is gorgeous on this movie. But to remember that's a true story, a real story. I remember a guy who followed us, because when I was in Germany, we were about 10, 12 or 15 people every day to follow all the location and find all the location. People, he was on my documentary, every day said, you have to do to remember that it was a true story with 10 people aviators was killed by the Gestapo. For me, it was an American, a very good film with beautiful characters, beautiful actors, but it was a real story on the start and mm-hmm. and first.
Wow.
That's the most important for me because it was, I remember this call from Don, and he said, if you want to make something, we can meet at Munich airport in front of a Europe car. I say, okay. And I called to a best friend in journalist in Paris, and I say, I go or I don't go? He said, go, whatever, go. So I go to Munich and follow all the people and all the location. And for me, it was like a young boy in Disney World, because it was amazing. For me, it was amazing about the location and to remember the movie on this location and to
right.
to talk with all the
especially how much they remembered about everything and, that happened beforehand.
You remember the two or three old people who walk in front of my camera, yes. who work in a Great yes. Escape with the black and white pictures. I remember these seconds. I met her. I talk about the movie, and they show me the black and white pictures. I say, okay, you can go in 30, 45 meters away and come to me with my camera because I know I can talk about the story. And they go 30 or 45 meters, come to me and say, when we, I say, okay, let's go. When they walk to me, they say, "Hi, Hitler." The German guy, he was on my left, and he said, you cut it." I say, "Yes, but it's anecdotic." But remember, we are in Bavaria.
Yes,
Bavaria. Indeed. It's the earth of Adolf Hitler. People don't forget. When the old man with the gun mm-hmm. at the end with Steve McQueen told me when he were the German officer. And he go to Füssen, and the German people say, "Oh, Hitler is back! Hitler is back!" He said, "No! We make a movie. We make a movie because we were in 1962, and from 1945 to 1962, it was very short.
And everyone was waiting for him to come back.
Yes, and the people never forget. People never forget. In another documentary, I made a documentary on Auschwitz. When I was in Auschwitz, when I was in school, I see a lot of movies about Auschwitz, Treblinka, and horrors for the Second War. But then when I go to Auschwitz to make something, make a shooting, my protection is my mm-hmm. camera.
Okay.
Understand what I mean?
Yeah.
When I have the eye in my camera, I forget everything. My eyes is like this, and I try to shooting and to have the best in this rectangle. But when I come back in France and watching the rushes, I was very not sad, but you understand? Yeah, because when I was in Auschwitz and I'm shooting with all the people, it's my job, and I don't see with my eyes it's only my camera sees. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? And when I made the documentary of The Great Escape, it was the same thing. I was not a big fan to walk on all the location and say, oh, wow. At this time, I made a job. I made my job to have the best interview. I have no script. I remember an appointment in Mirisch Production in Los Angeles with Larry Mirisch, the Walter son. And he said, it was in behind his office, and he said, tell me your story. I said, I took my camera, come to Germany and filming all the location and made interview and try to make a documentary. And I'm looking for a distributor in the USA, and because in France it's very difficult. And the problem I have is MGM and the Fox. MGM have the rights, and the Fox has the distribution. When I call MGM, I have a conference call with MGM lawyers, commercials, and press. And they told me, Chris, you have, how do you say in English? You buy a home, a house, you have
a mortgage?
No. Wait, I think it's the right word. Don't forget, for your house, if you use Great Escape footage from the original movie in your documentary, it's the war. Don't forget it. You have Brigitte Bardot, Alain Delon in your country. We have Steve McQueen in our country. Don't touch. I say, okay, no problem. I'm professional. And when I talk with Larry Mirisch in his office, he said, but you have script? No. Who is the producer? Me. Who is the editing? Me. Who make the interview? Me. Who took the camera? Me. But which channel, which production asked you to make it? No. It's only me. It's a dream to make this documentary. You don't believe me? Don't worry. I took my computer, opened my computer and said, play. Watch it. He said, wow, you are very lucky. I say yes, because I have black and white pictures you never used. MGM never used. It's not copyright from MGM and even Fox. I have, for example, this black and white pictures from Steve.
Wow.
From Steve with his parcel on The Great Escape. But this black and white pictures never exist in MGM pictures. Wow. You understand what I mean?
Of course.
Yes. And I say, okay, you have I have an appointment now, but you can come back in 2 hours. I say, okay. So I come back in 2 hours. Okay, let's go. Continue. Let's go. She says, okay, I work with Steve Rubin in Los Angeles, and I work with Joseph Amodei in New York to make an issue to for the documentary. And he said, okay, I can be your joker. If you have any problems with MGM and the Fox, and if your partners can find an issue and find a way to make it, I can help you. I have a gift for you. I say, wow, a gift? And I show you. You give me this book.
Thought we were making movies, not history. Okay. I can't read what he says there, though.
He said, to Christopher, great fan of The Great Escape, with my best wishes, Walter Mirisch. So that's the Great Escape producer at the first time. So
yes.
It was, I was very lucky. When I...
Was his father still alive?
I think so, yes.
Did he get his father to really sign it?
Yes. And when I come back in France, I was very exciting. So, and say, no, I'm very happy because I have the Lawrence Montaigne narration. I speak with Larry Mirisch, and he can help us to find a way to finish the documentary. It's very cool for me to have money like you to live or for your work. But in this work, I earn nothing. But
wow.
Anyway, it was patient. It was a very good trip because I met Steve Rubin, Joe. We have a projection in Cannes Film Festival, and we have now a documentary in DVD. But it's only for the business production, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great story to make this movie. But if now somebody asked me to make a new documentary on The Great Escape, I say no, I can't. It's very difficult, very, very difficult. And I try to reach David McCallum, agent. Okay. And his agent say, no, he's not interested. I tried to reach, at this time, 6-7 years ago, James Garner agent, secretary. And he said he is very old. He's an old man and it's very difficult to forget it. Richard Attenborough too. It was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find some. And hopefully we have the Lawrence Montaigne narration. Lawrence Montaigne told us, if you want to make a narration, it's not a problem. Come to me in my home, in Las Vegas, because I got a concert and I can't moving. Okay, we make the narration. When I was in Bavaria, I was in the forest where they made the camp. I took a piece of wood on the ground and took this piece of wood, come back to France, go to USA and go to Las Vegas. The first thing when I come inside the Lawrence Montaigne, I say, Lawrence, it's an honor to be with you today. I'm very proud to be with you. And I give you this piece of woods. I took this piece of woods in the area when they made the camp in 1962. He said, wow. And his wife said, you cannot imagine how my husband is very happy today. And he took this piece of woods and put in the corner in his home. And we make the narration. And Steve said, okay, Chris, that's okay for you. We go. I say, no, if it's possible to make an interview with Lawrence, and hopefully we have the interview with Lawrence Montaigne at the end of the documentary. But we have no script. We have no. I was very lucky in my in different steps to make the documentary, because okay, we have the location. Okay, we have the narration. Okay, we have some interviews. Okay, that's okay, but we have to find other things. The big surprise was the black and white pictures from The Great Escape. And that's Joseph Amodei sent me this.
I can't read what it says. I can't read it. Ah, Stalag Lift 3.
Yes.
Wow.
That's the 50th mm-hmm. anniversary
of the escape
of the record of the Great Escape. That's the
yeah. Don't break that.
I live with this movies not every day, but I think about this movie when I met Dave Hickens, the Bud Hickens brother. He gave me this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I see McQueen in the middle.
Yeah.
Who are the other two in the picture?
Yes. Hello.
Okay.
Bud Hickens.
Okay.
His brother Dave Hickens. And they made in 1964 the ISDT motorcycles. Right. And he signed these pictures for me when I met him. But I'm the only thing I was frustrated is to not make the next Adam McQueen interview because she was in Bavaria and $10,000 it's a lot of money. But in USA, in Los Angeles, when I talk with some people, they said, Chris, we have not the same culture in Europe and in USA.
Okay.
You make this documentary on, you work on this documentary with patience, but in USA, we work for the business.
Money.
Okay. 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 When I met this guy in Los Angeles, I was in his office. You remember the Bullet movie?
Of course.
Bullet movie.
Sure. Yes.
You remember at the end when he was out of the city with the Mustang,
mm-hmm.
he met someone with a motorcycle, and the motorcycle crashed in front of me, and the Mustang turned.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the seconds on the motorcycle? It was Bud Hickens.
Yeah, well, Bud Hickens was did all the stunts for McQueen after that.
Yes, but in the seconds it was Bud Hickens. And then when I was in the office of this man in Los Angeles, on the corner there was a big bag, leather bag, with the letter Bud Hickens, and I asked him what is this bag, and he said You remember the seconds in of Bullet? And all the t-shirt, the blue jean, and the shoes, everything in this bag from the Bullet seconds movie. No people open this bag. So this bag is there. I say, wow. But anyway, okay.
This is just fascinating. There's no question about that. I wasn't expecting to talk to you for so long now. I thought we would have just a short little conversation, constantly fascinating me with this whole story. I must tell you that I find this really fascinating.
It was a big challenge and a nightmare to make this documentary.
But I assume that once it was done, you were quite happy that you finally got your dream project done.
Yes, I know, because when I start, I made a promise to my father.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I can show you a lot of
memorabilia.
Yes, because I have a John Sturge, but I have a lot of things about the movie, and I love this movie, and I have two patients with two artists. One is Steve McQueen and The Great Escape, and the other one is Prince. It's very different, huh? It's very different.
Very, very, very different.
But
so now you're working on a documentary about Prince?
No. No, but we talk about, but with the COVID and the pandemic, it was difficult. But I met Clint Eastwood two times. I met him two times, and I made two interviews with him. And I talked with Steve to make a documentary about this movie, is De l'or pour les braves, with Clint and Telly Savalas, and the war film movie.
With Telly Savalas, it's Kelly Zeros.
Kelly Zeros, yes. And we wanted to make a Kelly Zeros documentary about the location and all the stories with Don Cheadle, with Telly Savalas, with Clint, and of course
Don Rickles and Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland, yes, because Donald Sutherland came in Cannes 3 years ago, and I talked with Steve, and I said, I think it was a good idea to make something with the Kelly Zeros movie. It's very different because it's not the true story. It's a comedy war movie. But anyway, I see a lot of seconds with Don Rickles and the Clint Eastwood interviews, and they talk about the great time they spent together and to make this movie. But
I love that movie. Great movie. A lot of fun.
Yes. Yes. You know this book?
The Great Escape. Nope. Behind the Scenes. Nope. Not familiar with it.
That's the book with the location.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With all the black and white pictures on the movie.
What amazing.
Yes. That can see.
Wait, these are the pictures that you got? These are your pictures?
Yes. No. The pictures I use in the documentary.
Yeah, yes. The ones that you were given.
Yes, some pictures I use in the documentary to make the movie. To make the documentary and the... He gave me the black and white. It was a treasure to have this book because
completely.
Yes, because when you see these pictures,
yeah, of course,
yes, with Jim Coburn. When I go in the hotel, it was amazing to see to see all the rooms where James Coburn, John Sturges, Charles Bronson, James Garner were.
Where they all slept.
It was magic. Because we have no script. The morning we have breakfast, someone come, he say, I heard that you for the Great Escape movie. Yeah, yes. Okay, come in my hotel because I have all the crew in my hotel. Oh, wow. Okay, we follow you. Okay, we follow you. And I put a GoPro on the car, camera inside the car, and make interview, and that's what you see in the documentary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a TV news. It was not a good light with a beautiful pictures. No, because I have no time. I have only 5 days to make some. So every day I'm shooting the night. I'm viewing the rushes and all the interviews or with the microphone and check everything every day. It was because I was alone to make this. Huh?
Right.
Only one people, me. Huh? That's all. Huh? We can spend a lot of time.
Yeah, for sure. We can spend a lot of time. You definitely have some great stories. Well, thank you, Christoph. This was such a great discussion about this movie. I'm really glad that we had the time to speak about it.
Thank you very much. And yes, I hope you understand everything. You understand my passion and my my way to make this documentary and to have a focus on the Great Escape movie. But it was a very, very good time to make it.
So if anyone wants to get in touch with me, you can contact me by email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. And our Twitter handle is greatescapemxm. Tally-ho!
Tally-ho!